Today, we've got in our hot seat Agnes Varga, and she's the CTO of Mamoku. Agnes, good to have you here.
Hello, good to be here. Thank you.
Are you ready to do this?
Yes, let's do it.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzeh Ingabunen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
So Agnes, in one sentence, can you tell us and the audience what it is that Mamoku does?
Mamoku is a translation technology company, and we produce a software called Mamoku, which is the same as the company's name. And we create this TMS for translators, for companies, for LSPs, for enterprise companies who are, so we try to provide for the whole translation and localization chain of the industry.
You are currently the CTO at Mamoku. When you were a child, was that the career that you dreamed of, or what did you think that you would become as an adult?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I would never have even dreamed of this, not even in the recent years. For a very long time, I wanted to be a florist as a child. So I wanted to somehow put nice bouquets and bunches of flowers together and arrange them. So that was my dream. And then later on, I wanted to bake nice cakes. And I still like to do both. I'm not professional. I just enjoy these. But that was my dream.
You didn't mention traveling. Is that something that you like to do? Or apart from, you know, taking care of flowers and baking cakes, what else do you do in your free time?
Yes. Oh, I love traveling, actually. And unfortunately, I don't bake that many cakes anymore because baking means I have to eat and then I really have to watch what I eat now. So I rather travel. I really love traveling. I like to be outdoors, so somehow in nature, walking, cycling, doing something active, also going far, going not that very far. But I also like to be indoors and read, and I recently started to copy YouTube tutorials for simple watercolor, so I started to do that, but very, very simple. And also with my husband, we recently started this long hiking trail. I don't know if anyone heard about this blue trail in Hungary, that 1,200 kilometers long, and you just walk on in the woods and sometimes in villages, and you keep walking. And we started it with my husband, and we have done a third of it already last year.
And if you were given a chance to visit three different countries, which ones would you choose and why?
I think it depends on if I should watch the ecological footprint I make, if I don't have to watch it and I don't have to worry about flying, because I recently checked my footprint and I was very, very much surprised how much flying has such a huge weight in this ecological footprint. True. It's very sad. So I'm sorry to think that maybe I should not travel that much. But if I could just go, I would be very, very happy to revisit Canada, because I spent two very happy months there with my husband five years ago. So that was good. And if I could just choose something, then I would go to New Zealand probably, because of all the natural beauty. But in real life, I probably would not go there because it's so far. And third, I think I would visit the island of Madeira in Portugal, because that has been a dream for me for a while, but just never got around to it. But somehow when we think about these nice things, nice travels go far, and but then when I come to really planning a holiday, I sit down and I say, okay, where should we go? Oh, we should go somewhere closer. We should just take the car or take bicycles. And then, okay, let's go to Croatia or let's go to Austria. And then that's where we end up. So these big, big travels are always dreams, but maybe once, I don't know.
Yeah, and they all have something in common, which is that they're very beautiful and green places. Whether you go far or close by, it looks like that's where your preference lies. So thank you for sharing that. And a whole other question, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I think I've been given a lot of very, very good advice, and I feel like I've been changing a lot. After I finished school, my life is about changing. But maybe one that I would want to mention is, it really was like a life changer. And it was just always assume the best. And that was in some kind of a video or podcast that this lady said that try to assume the best. And I would say that it means rather to assume good intentions from other people. Mm-hmm. And before that, somehow I realized that I was a little bit critical and that we tend to try to protect ourselves from possible hurt. You know, that when you read an email or someone says something to you, you try to always defend yourself and always assume something really bad, that, oh, she said that because she hates me. He wrote to me this because I don't know. And then I realized if I change my thinking that they had good intentions, then my whole communication and everything, my relationship with people changes. And this so fundamentally changed my ways around people that this helped me to genuinely learn to love people. It really did change my life, I think.
Yeah, I feel like we got to know you a bit better now. Very nice to get to know you as a person, first of all. But now we want to know more about you as a businesswoman. So we're going to, you know, go to the tougher questions.
Okay.
What do you as a CTO do in your day-to-day, first of all?
I try to manage a team of 40 people. And this is where we develop the MemoQ software, where we do documentation, where we do quality check, where we do the design for this and also planning. So this is kind of the, we call this department of production. I just recently got into this position, so only like 7 months. And first, I'm now concentrating on internal affairs within the team. But I also like to handle customer affairs and talk to my customers our customers. And this is what I do practically. I try to arrange affairs. I try to connect the people together within the team. And I'm trying to take care that they will all thrive somehow, both within my team, outside my team, and also our customers. Mm-hmm.
What are the currently in your role? And, you know, I know you said it's only been 7 months, but still, 7 months is not nothing. So what are currently like the biggest challenges or just even one big challenge that you encounter in your day-to-day work?
You know what? I realized that I think dealing with people is always challenging. And before I got this job, I thought that my strength is people. And this will be the easiest part. And then thinking about strategy and future directions. And this more abstract, higher level things will be more difficult. And I had to realize that in real life, it's just the opposite. And somehow making sure that people work together well and that they really thrive. I'm not saying that they are happy because happiness is very relative, but they thrive in their role and they do their best and still they have good relationships with each other. I think that's the toughest part. And I also, I tend to worry a lot about people and how they feel and if they get on well with each other. I always like to have peace around me and that people like each other. But sometimes I have to realize now that in real life that may just not happen.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree that dealing with people is challenging. And so can you maybe also share how you overcome that challenge daily? Or like, are there specific strategies that you employ either when dealing with people or just for your own sanity, let's say?
What I try to do, so this for me... People are different, but for me, this is emotionally heavy. So then after work, I try to shut everything down and just read something, read a book. So just somehow escape to a different world and go outside in the garden and do something. But during my work, this is a very good question if I have strategies. I try just to talk to people, and I'm also trying to improve my skills now to somehow mediate between them and sit down together with them, mm-hmm. that they learn also to communicate with each other. I also go to psychologist who helps me in these things, to how to communicate things better. So I have helpers. And practically, that's my strategy. And I ask questions. I ask how I could help them and how to handle things. And this is I think asking questions is probably the best strategy always.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you're learning. Approaching it very professionally, actually, all of this that you really, I can tell you care.
Yeah, I do care, and yeah. I'm trying very hard. I think that can summarize it.
I think that's the main thing you need when dealing with people, you know, so that's great. Okay, so thank you for sharing that from your current day to day. Looking back a little bit on your career, I don't know what you did before, actually, but just when you look back at your whole career, what was maybe your first breakthrough moment that you had?
My career is very strange. I think I never really had big ambitions. I'm not a kind of an ambitious person who goes towards a goal and then that's it. But I've always had a passion for languages. So I always wanted to learn English somehow. And that was my chosen career path at university. But then I ended up also studying IT. I think that was a pretty big breakthrough because it completely changed my life. But it was nothing intentional. The way it happened was I wanted to study English, but then I got a little bit afraid that I would not be admitted to that major. So I also applied for IT. Even though I wanted to somehow do something with English, I ended up at the IT department at the university teaching programming and database management, which was, I think, it blows my mind. I never thought of it that this would happen. But anyway, it happened. So I think that choice, that even applying to this IT major at university was pretty much like a huge change. But if I think back, I cannot think of anything like this apart from realizing, for example, this relationship with people, with this, you know, assuming good intentions, or when I realized that meeting a good partner is will also take work, and it may not be connected to work, but I actually it is, because that if when I realized that if I don't want to be alone or in a bad relationship, then I have to do something, and it also changed my personality somehow, and it had a huge effect on my work and how I do things, and I think it helped me to get into this position, because I started out as a software engineer at MemoQ, so I did programming for 7 years, and I was sitting in a two-person team, which was like very secluded at home, and I that was my job. And that now where I am sitting now is a huge change.
Thank you for sharing that. And I would agree that breakthrough moments don't necessarily need to always be like a specific step in your career, but those moments where you realize, you have a realization and you start to do things differently, and that changes your whole approach. So thank you very much.
Yeah. And somehow came from my private life, and then it had an effect on my career.
Absolutely. And I think that's often the case as well. So, it sounds all very positive, which I love, but I'm wondering, did you have any stumbles throughout your career? You know, typically for none of us, life goes completely smoothly, neither go our careers. Can you recall the moment where you made like a big mistake or something went wrong with a client or something, and what you learned from it as well?
Oh, yes. I think throughout this job at MemoQ, I've done so many mistakes, blunders, bugs. You know, when you introduce a bug into the software, first it's pretty horrible. And I think the biggest one was, and it was not even in my first year, it was maybe second, third year, that the MemoQ had to be revoked, the whole installer, and we had to release a new version because I introduced the bug and I didn't think about some impossible possibilities that I don't know, those who are in the industry know that I didn't count on the source segment being empty. So somehow I didn't think of that you actually always want to translate something. So you don't really think that it is empty. so that ended up in this big bug. And then I realized that I always have to think of impossible possibilities too. And I even made a note on my desk to always check empty values, because that they can happen anywhere. So that was this kind of a blunder, but life went on. So it was not a huge thing. It was big for me because I still remember, but I had these bugs and I always make mistakes. I try to learn and go on and yeah.
Well, everybody does. So at least, I like your approach. You put a note up. So
yes,
remind
yes,
yourself
yes, yes.
and learn from it. That's exactly what you should do, right? So thank you.
I learned this from my previous manager, from Florian, that this is how you can handle your mistakes and errors, that you analyze and then you learn from it. And then you think of what you can do differently next time.
Exactly. It's how we get better. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah,
thank you, Agnes. We're already on our last question now, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I would have a lot more questions for you. But my final question is, what advice would you give to people who are starting out in the industry today, in the language industry, and maybe want to pursue a similar path to yours? They want to maybe become CTOs as well.
Okay, to become a CTO, I don't have a recipe for this. I think my only recipe, I don't know if this works for everyone, maybe for someone else, is that you just do what you like. You find out what you really like and just try to get better at it and pursue it and just do it. And then opportunities will find you. And then if you have improved, then you are always ready to take that opportunity. So this is how things happened for me. And this may work for other people. Some people have goals and have very high ambitions and then they strive for it. I think that works too. So I think all kinds of approaches can work. But even in this industry, I think love for languages, that's a huge thing, because that can drive you forward and also somehow a drive for helping people, because I think this whole industry is about helping people to understand things better.
Mm-hmm.
And also nowadays, what I think is useful is always be acquainted with technology in some ways, because everything mm-hmm. revolves around technology now. So it's always a good idea to somehow dig deeper into it.
Agreed. Don't think it won't affect you, because it probably will.
Yes, exactly. Unless you want to really, I don't know, hide in a cave somewhere.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Agnes. This was great. Thank you for joining us in the hot seat. And I think we didn't make you sweat too much. Oh,
thank you. So this was a very good experience. Thanks a lot.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and watch out for our next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website.